and I'm overwhelmed by the pain. Can't see the light of day. Well, I know I'll be just fine. He knows my name. Yes, he does. He knows my name. Aren't you glad tonight? He knows my name. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Amen. Thank you, musicians. God bless you. I don't have to turn all the way around here tonight. We are pretty thinned out here. We've got a lot of folks traveling. And I suppose because we can finally get out and go somewhere, I suppose that's a big part of it. When we were praying before the service with the musicians, I looked at them. I said, so I suppose you guys don't have any money. That's why you're here, right? We're glad that our brothers and sisters are able to take a little bit of a break. Everybody needs to take some time off, and so we're thankful for that. Just hope that we have a good turnout for our watch night service. We know the way you start your year is how you're going to finish it, so I want to start it out the right way in service of the Lord. So, amen. Somebody say praise the Lord. We're glad that you're here tonight. And so I misspoke on Sunday evening. I told you that I was going to change directions for the evening, and then I gave the title of the message as part two of the Sunday morning message, but it wasn't. It was another direction. I had it wrong on my notes, but I had it right in the file. But anyway, so tonight, the seed at harvest time, part two. The seed, oh, and I just noticed I misspelled that. Boy, I'm slipping. So it's right there, but it's wrong here. Okay. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you, by thus saith the Lord, by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. The same one does all three, the Lord himself. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, torment one another with these words. Comfort one another with these words. I wonder how close we are. We're closer than we were yesterday. I fully expect this to take place in my day. If you say, what if it doesn't? I won't be disappointed that I was in great expectation. But I do believe that we're in that cycle, in that season. Amen. Let's bow our heads. Father, as we gather together once again in your precious name and to feed upon your unfailing words of promise, we ask, Lord, that you take your word and quicken it to our hearts once again. Forgive us, Lord, of our mistakes, our failures, our slowness of heart at times. And Lord, our desire is to serve you, is to love you, is to honor you, is to see that your will is done in our lives here on the earth as it is in heaven. We ask that you'd minister to each and every one according to their needs, Lord. And we know that there are many that are traveling, and as already been said, Lord, we ask for safe travels for each and every one, that you bring them back safely amongst us. And also ask, Lord, that they would be revitalized, revived, recharged. We know that many times the spirit's willing, the flesh is weak. We know that the flesh needs a certain amount of attention, and we're thankful that we have the opportunities to pull aside and get rest, visit with family and loved ones. And that, Lord, we truly deem it a privilege to be gathered together with those alike precious faith here this evening, Lord, to worship you in spirit and in truth. And we just ask that you minister to each and every one, Lord, that whether they're in the service or whether they're listening in tonight or will be listening in. And we also ask, Lord, that you'd be with the minister, our guest minister that's going to be with us on Friday evening for our watch night service, and pray for traveling mercy, and that you would put on his heart, Lord, the right word, the spiritual food in due season that you have for us. And Lord, that we would come in expectation, that we would come, Lord, with our plate and our cup, and with every intention of feasting upon your manna. So, Lord, we just want to express once again how much we love you, and how much we need you, and how grateful we are that you're here once again to meet each and every need. Bless each and every one, we pray, in your lovely name, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen, amen. You may be seated. So, how often do you get snowed in? How often do you get a snow day in Arizona? Brother and Sister Blumke got snowed in up on the mountain, and I feel so sorry for them, you know. I'm sure they're up there suffering. So our subject, once again here tonight, it deals with the harvest time, and not only with the harvest time, but with what's being harvested at the harvest time. You know, it's one thing to know what season it is. It's another thing to know what's being gathered together in the grain elevator and what's being gathered together, to bundled together for other purposes. We know from the parables of Jesus himself in the New Testament that the church over seven ages is likened unto a, as we read in Matthew chapter 13 last Sunday evening, is likened unto a seed that's planted that eventually comes to maturity and brings forth much fruit and is then harvested. That fruit is then harvested at the end time. And Jesus told us, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it does go into the ground, and it will bring forth much fruit. And what we are looking at, what we were looking at last Sunday evening, is that the seed at the end time, it must be exactly like the original seed, the original spoken word seed that was here at the beginning, because every seed brings forth after its own kind. And so we're not expecting a different, new and improved model or a different model, but we're expecting to see the very exact same seed manifesting here in the end time in the Omega Church as we saw in the Alpha Church. So the first church was the Alpha Church, and was a mature seed that was ready for the rapture. But the seed then had to fall into the ground in order to bring forth the remainder of the crop that would come forth throughout the ages. And perhaps that wasn't understood by the church in the beginning, but here in the end time, as the we take a resume of the seven church ages, we see that God planned it that way all along, that he had seed that would come forth in each and every age. And so every name that was on the book has to come forth. It has to first be birthed here on the earth, and then has to come to a new birth. And the high priest has to intercede on behalf of each and every one and dip their name in the Clorox bleach of his blood and do the intercessory work. And then in the end time, when the very last seed is manifested here on the earth, then he will come to claim what he has interceded for, what he has bought and purchased throughout the ages. So those in the ages after the first seed age that walked in the light of that age, where the life was at, well, they're numbered in the bride that comes forth in the end time. We know that that the seed fell into the ground, and we know that the seed then rots, it dies out, and the life is still there, but it then it begins to come forth, and what we see is a plant. And if we were to go out, and I grew up in wheat country, it was a very common thing for us to see in the summer, and it would grow very, very quickly in the summer months up in Montana and North Dakota and South Dakota, and so you would see just miles and miles and miles and miles of just flat fields, and there'd be most often it would be wheat, but there'd be oats and other kinds of grains that were grown. General Mills and other companies growing these grains up in the bread basket, if you will. And so, you know, when you drive by, you look and you say, well, what kind of a field is that? And you say, well, that's a wheat field, you know. And you look and you see the plant coming up, and you say, that's a wheat plant, right? And we even go so far as calling it wheat. But really, technically, it's not wheat. Technically, it's the plant that was planted to produce wheat. It was a wheat seed. So if you held up that plant and said, I've got wheat, if the seed is in there, then yeah, you do have wheat. But if it's just the plant itself, technically, you know, the wheat is the grain. So the grain that falls into the ground, you know, when you go to buy a seed, you don't go buy a wheat plant and then go and plant it. You go and buy the seed. And the name on the package says wheat, right? And the whole purpose is you're not really even interested in growing a plant, but it's something that you have to do because it takes that plant to produce the wheat, right? Your goal is to get what you put into the ground, but a whole lot more of it. Not something different. You're not looking for a new and improved model or a surprise, but you're looking for the very same thing that went into the ground, but you want more of it. So we know that throughout the church ages that the grain fell into the ground, up came a blade, and we know that the life that was in the wheat plant at that time, if you were walking in the light as he was in the light, well, then you had that life. And you will come up in the resurrection. But we know that in the end time that we were promised that very same grain would reproduce itself once again in an omega seed church. So the life moved up higher and higher in each and every age, but would not put forth another seed like the original seed until the end of the last age, which we call the harvest time. And that seed will have the very exact same characteristics and will manifest the very same life as the seed that went into the ground. So it will be like that original church. And we're talking really pre-Ephesian church age. Because the church age, they started to fall, but they had the perfect word before the ages even began. So we also know that the bride and the bridegroom are both found in this book that became an open book. It's been a closed book for the last, since it's been sealed up until the time of the end. But we know that it's become an open book in our day. And therefore, as we looked at on Sunday and previous services, we must find ourselves within the book. And we must see what the book declares about us, just as the original spoken word seed church did, just as the original spoken word seed Jesus Christ did when he walked on the earth as the Messiah. He had to find himself in the volume of the book. He said, I only do the will of my Father. Well, it wasn't just vision that he walked by. He walked also by the Word. If you want to know what God's will is, well, you find yourself in the pages of his Word. And his Word is his will for your life. So we must find ourselves within the volume of the book. So he was constantly asked to identify to the church just who he was, and to the Pharisees and Sadducees, and everybody wanted to know, well, who are you? And he always pointed to what the Word said about him. He didn't say, well, you know, I'm this or that, or I've got some clever way of he just pointed to the Word. He said, the Word tells you who I am. So the Word declared what it was that would be lived out in his life. And he perfectly matched the prophecy in the book in every way, shape, and form. There's not one prophecy concerning him that was to be fulfilled that wasn't fulfilled, and wasn't fulfilled exactly as it was spoken out of the mouths of the prophets. So Jesus said to the religious leaders of his day, he said to them, search the scriptures, For in them you think you have eternal life. Now, what's the point of searching it? You search it to find yourself in there. Search the scriptures, because in them, in the scriptures, you think you have eternal life, because the scripture tells you that. And they are they that testify of me. What the word says, it's speaking of me. The word said that I would do this, and I'm doing it. So the word declared him before he ever came forth, and he was the perfect fulfillment of the word. And the word described who he was in great detail. And he could find himself portrayed in the word, manifested in bodies of prophets that were, and others that were lived lives in the Old Testament, as recorded in the Old Testament. Everything the word was, Jesus was. He was the manifestation of what the word declared. So if he's the original seed, then if another crop comes forth in the last days from that very same original seed that fell into the ground, which is after its kind, well, it'll also have to be an original seed like he is. Notice he said, I'm the firstborn of the new creation. Well, the firstborn of the new creation, that's a new seed, right? So the secondborn of the new creation, the thirdborn, the very last one to come in, would have to be of the very same kind of seed. It'd have to be the same kind of grain. It can't be something else. This is not a reform movement, but this is the bringing forth or the manifestation of the spoken word seed. So there is a people on the earth tonight that are now the fullness of the word in a many-membered body. The thing is, there's not one of us that's the fullness of it. Neither are we supposed to be. Neither is there. I can't point to one part of my body and say that's the fullness, right? But if you take every member of my body and combine it, well, then that's the fullness of my body. So the people that are the fullness of the word in this age, They're not people of a partial word. We had a partial understanding of the word throughout the ages, because the understanding was darkened. The seed went into the ground. We went through the dark ages, and then light started shining, and there was a reforming movement, and so on, until finally the word was restored through a prophet. So we no longer have a partial word, but we have the full word. And if you're part of that word, you cannot deny one part of it, because you are of the word, and you'd have to deny yourself in order to do so. So it's not even possible. Do you understand that tonight? If you are part of that word, it's not possible for you to deny the word. That's not to say that you won't. There's a whole lot that we won't understand. There's a whole lot that we won't understand till we get to the other side. But he is revealing himself to us from glory to glory, and we are being changed from glory to glory as our revelation grows. He said, "That's how I'm going to build my church." But whether or not you understand it, you believe it. And you don't have to fear. If you've been born again of the Spirit of God, you don't have to fear. Well, I sure hope I don't reject part of the word. You can't. Because of who you are. And because of what you are. Because you're of that same grain, you're gonna live by the very same life, and you're going to produce the very same kind of works. So everything that Jesus did was vindicated by what the scripture said that he would do. And I hope you're listening tonight, because if the bridegroom, everything that he did was vindicated by what the scripture said, well, then it'll be the same way with the bride. She will be vindicated by what the scripture said she would do in whatever particular age that she's living in. So he said, if I don't, I'm paraphrasing here now, but he said, if I don't vindicate the scripture, then I'm not the original seed. I'm not the one that's being described by the word. But if I do what the scripture declared, well, I don't understand why you can't believe me. Just believe me for the work's sake, because the works are testifying. I have to be that one, because if I'm not that one, I can't do those works. And if those works are being done, doesn't the word declare that that's who that person will be? So if you don't believe me for what I say, well, you should believe me at least by what I do, for the scriptures declare what I will do, and I have done it. And I hope you're listening tonight, because the same thing will be said about the bridegroom and the bride. The very same thing. It is. You don't need to vindicate yourself. The word vindicates you. And you don't need to try to be this. Just get born again of his spirit. Feed upon his word. You will produce what the word said. Friends, when you plant that grain of wheat into the ground, you don't stay up all night and worry. Say, oh, I sure hope it doesn't grow up and produce oats. I'm really looking forward to wheat. That's what I thought I put into the ground. I sure hope I don't get a tomato or corn or something. Or I sure hope that it's able to bring forth. Or I sure hope that it has this characteristic or that characteristic. No, what you need to do is just plant the right kind of seed. If you plant the right kind of seed, you'll get the right kind of fruit. And you don't have to help it along. You don't have to take it into the lab and mix this chemical with that chemical. You don't have to take a needle and inject something in that seed saying, you know, it might be missing this, so I'm going to inject it in there. Whatever's in that seed, that's what's going to come forth. So everything Jesus did was vindicated by what the scripture said that he would do. If you don't believe me for what I say, believe me at least by what I do. For the scriptures declare what I will do. Show me where I haven't done it, he said. Now, friends, you'll only know that if you're in the Word. A Christian reads their Bible and prays every day. They have to. That's a quote. Now I got some amens. Every day. Some of us are so faithful we won't miss a day on Facebook. Not against that. But I am against it if you're not reading your Bible and praying every day. The works bear witness of the seed which I am, Jesus said. So God was perfectly manifested in Christ, because Christ was the Word of God made manifest. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God, then the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld the glory of the Father through the only begotten. Now, friends, we must understand that God, as we said, I'm just kind of laying a little bit of background once again from Sunday night before we launch off a little further. We must understand that God made you to be another God. And that just chokes left and right and up and down. And, you know, our human minds, first of all, our human minds say, well, that's just blasphemy to say that. I didn't say that you're the God. I didn't say that you're the creator of the universe. But if God is your Father, you have to be what he is. And we know in the garden that God said, let us make man in our own image, in our own likeness. Let him have dominion over the earth. And so in order to have dominion, you have to have a domain. If you have a domain and you have dominion, you're calling the shots. You're the God of the earth. He's the God of the heavens, of the universe. So we must understand that, and the people that have the most difficulty with that, the reason why they have the most difficulty with it is because they're being honest with themselves, and they're not born again. If you're not born again, that just sounds crazy, right? How could I be an amateur God? How could I be a Messiah? I know better than that. Yeah, you do. If you aren't born again, you aren't an amateur God, right? You're a sinner. You're a fallen son or daughter of God, perhaps, right? But you can't even begin to know that except you be born again. And the church said. So that is his original thought, which then became his original word concerning you. God made you to be like him. In his image, bearing his image on the earth. You know, if somebody mistook you for Jesus Christ, I mean, I know that makes us nervous here tonight, and I know that I'm treading on thin ice, because we're not advocating that deity spirit, and we don't want any part of it. But if somebody actually was able to mistake you for Jesus Christ, the only way they could do that is if the works that were done in him are being done in you. Amen. Isn't that complimentary? They mistook John the Baptist. They're asking him, are you that one, or should we seek another? He said, no, I'm not that prophet. I know who you're talking about. I'm the voice of one crying in the wilderness. But they wondered, are you that one? John 10, verse 34. Jesus answered them. Actually, let me just stop there for a moment. Sometimes genes there might be some kind of a dominant gene that runs through a family line, and you'll see parents that have these certain features, and then you see their children, and you look at them, and you think, my goodness, you look just like your dad, right? Well, it's a big surprise, right? You're of the same DNA. You came out from that person, right? So it shouldn't be a surprise if we are the image of our parents sometimes, right? Sometimes we're the image of an uncle or an aunt or, you know, sometimes it's from another generation that these strong attributes come through. But if you're of the gene of your father, you're going to reflect his image. John 10, 34. Jesus answered them, is it not written in your law, I said, you are gods? Now, friends, he knew. First of all, this is written for several reasons. It's written for us. But he also knew that they were going to be offended, the guys he was talking to. He knew that they weren't going to get this. He said, is it not written in your law, I said, you are gods, to whom the word comes to? If he called them gods, the prophets, unto whom the word of God came, and the scripture cannot be broken, well then say ye of him whom the Father hath sanctified and sent into the world, thou blasphemest? That's what they were saying about him. He said, but the Father sanctified me, sent me out into the world, and you're saying I'm blaspheming? Because I said I'm the Son of God? I'm just going to keep driving this and driving this and driving this. He said he was the Son of God. Right? Well, what are you tonight if you're born again of a spirit? You're a son of God or a daughter of God. Well, is that hard to say? It shouldn't be. If I do not the works of my Father, well, believe me not. I'm not trying to talk you into anything. Just look at what I'm doing. Search the scriptures. You say that you're only going to stay with the word and that your authority's on it. Well, search the scripture and see if I match that. But if I do, though ye believe me not, believe the works, that ye may know and believe that the Father is in me and I in him. Those are some of the same, those that are of the same original seed, they can say the same thing tonight. Amen. If you don't believe that I am who I say I am, well then believe me for the work's sake. For my works declare who I am. We call ourselves Christians. What does that mean? It means to be Christ-like. Right? I call myself a Christian. Okay, well, if I'm Christ-like, if I'm a Christian, then the works of Christ, you'll see the works of Christ in my life. Jesus said, if I'm not doing what the word said that I would do, well, don't believe me. It's just that simple. And every believer has a testimony. Each and every one of us. A real seed of God will manifest the word of God. Not because they tried to, but because they're born again of the Spirit of God. That word will not return unto him void. It will accomplish what he sent it to do. And the church says. So God promised another seed after Adam and Eve fell. And this promised seed would be the seed through which all other seed would come at a later time. this seed would conquer and correct the error that was made in the garden. And this seed would reverse the works of the devil from the time of the fall, as man is being restored back to his original condition. And friends, that's the power of this blood. Yeah, the power of this blood is not, you know, we want, at one time, I'll just speak for myself, at one time we imagined that the power of the blood was just forgiveness of your sins. And when I say just, I'm not belittling that. That's a tremendous thing. It's one soul is worth 10,000 worlds. It's supernatural. It's a powerful thing. But he didn't die just to say, I forgive you. There was a greater purpose than that. And the power of this blood is able to not only divorce you from sin, but to take you back and put you into the condition that God had in his thinking about you before the foundation of the world, where you're manifesting his image on the earth. Remember when Adam and Eve fell, the image of God was not in view in their lives as it was before. But that image must be restored, and that image is being restored. Christ in you, the hope of glory. So, in order for the works of Satan to be corrected, an original seed had to come forth again. And that original seed would have to come forth through another woman, but this time through a woman that would believe. Remember, Eve accepted a lie instead of accepting that word seed, accepting the truth. And when she received that lie, she brought forth life afterwards, but it was a life of death. So if it was through the woman where death came through, it'll be through a woman that life comes through once again. She believes the testimony of the angel of the Lord, and she believes in the supernatural. And she believes something that is not reasonable to the human mind. We spent quite a bit of time on that on Sunday night. I'm not going to go back over that again. But friends, reasoning will take you places that you don't ever want to go. The church is not built on reasoning. It's built on faith. It's built on revelation. So if you're tormented because you can't make sense of this or that, or somebody wants an explanation, they want you to reason this or that, you're going down the wrong road. Satan will out-reason you anytime, any day. But faith in God's word, you'll run Satan around in circles. It isn't revealed to him what's revealed to you. So this Eve believes something that's not reasonable to the human mind. We gave many, many examples, but reason to me the body change. Reason to me the new birth. Shouldn't there be some kind of evidence? Shouldn't we be able to do some kind of a test? Reason to me that gene that's down on the inside, the change. First of all, reason to me, where's the seed that's down in the soul that we're talking about? Can anybody give me proof or any kind of evidence? The only evidence you have is what it manifests. Put it in the right kind of ground, let the Holy Spirit hit it, and you'll see what kind of a life is there. But it's in another dimension, so reasoning doesn't apply. So this Eve believes something that's way out of human reason and steps out into the supernatural realm. And friends, that's why, as we mentioned on Sunday night, that's why we constantly hammer away at this very pitiful thing that we call religion, that millions and millions and millions of people are settling for and have settled for throughout the ages. There's many that haven't settled for it, of course, but religion is just a covering. We want more than that. So what they do is they accept a reformed life, a new leaf, and yet they remain just as they were, tamed down a little bit, got a few new patches and maybe some handcuffs and some fetters to kind of keep them in check. But there's something far greater that's been promised to you who believe. An original seed is what's promised to you. And in fact, you are a quickened seed by the new birth, because there's a seed down on the inside of you that's quickened by the new birth. And that seed is the same in every respect as the original seed. Do you believe that? It has to be. If it's a continuation of this new race, it has to be the same kind of seed. So it's the same original seed now living in a many-membered word seed body, or a mystical body. So we know that he came to the earth first as a single fulfillment of the word that was spoken concerning him in the Old Testament. All the different prophets spoke of him, and he came and he was the only one that was the fulfillment of it. And it wasn't, it was a single point fulfillment. In other words, it wasn't spoken for many to fulfill. It was spoken for him to fulfill. Are you with me? But he said that he had more works to do after he went to his Father, right? Well, he's still doing works of the word tonight, but he's doing it in a many-membered body. So these are scriptures that are being fulfilled in a many-membered body, not just in one person, a single person alone. So he came in our day to show us again that original seed word that was spoken of singularly. But that identified word is now manifested again in a many-membered body. So why is that so strange to believe? Why is it so hard for us to believe that he could do the very same things in many bodies that he did in one body? It's the same spoken word seed, so won't it produce the same works? Of course it will. He's now brought back to the earth through a spoken word body of his own creation. He said, upon this rock I'll build my church. So he's built his church throughout the ages. He has a body on the earth in this hour, and he's now, that body is giving him preeminence, giving the word preeminence. Now, the word would have had to come back to the body in order for the word to have preeminence. So the word came first. But then there's a body that was waiting to receive that word and give that word preeminence. Remember, the male and the female, right? So it's the same word manifesting through word. It's the same seed bringing forth the same works. So it's not just you, but it's you and him. You are part of him. He's part of you. But his word is in you. He said, at that day, which is this day, you'll know I'm in the Father, I'm in you, and you're in me. So it's not something that you and I, this can't be counterfeited. This can't be, it can't be imitated. It's only he can, nobody could imitate Jesus Christ, right? There was nobody that came along and said, well, no, I'm the Christ. Well, there were those that said that, but it didn't take much to say, man, you're not just pale in comparison. You're not even in the picture. You're nothing like this, right? So it can't be imitated. What he produces and what he lives out, only God can do it. So it's God doing in you and I what we can't do, what nobody can do, but he can. Nobody can do this but the original seed. And he does it through us by us simply believing his word. He is spirit that was made thought, that was made word, and now is being made flesh. But you are the flesh that he's chosen to manifest himself in. We know that heaven is channeled through the earth. We know that the earth is the bedding ground for God's word. In order for the image that's in heaven to be manifested here on the earth, there has to be a bedding ground here on the earth. And we know that the seed at the harvest time is the original seed on the earth once again. It's the very same seed coming forth once again. Only Jesus Christ, the Word, can overcome the world, right? So we are not saying, I'm overcoming the world. We are not saying, I've got power to do this or I got power to do that. What we're saying is, he already overcame the world. And that life living in me is overcoming the world once again. So all of our confidence is in him. But we need to have that confidence. Because only Jesus Christ, the Word, overcame the world. And he overcame the world with his word. And now his word is in you. And there's coming a time, and I believe we're moving right into that cycle where she has his word and knows what he wants done with it. So he told us before he left, he said, be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. Well, why should I be of good cheer? So you overcame. What about me? Well, he'll come and overcome he has overcome the world, and then he'll come and live in you, and the world has no part in you, and you have no part in the world. So the only way we can overcome sin, friends, the only way we can overcome the world, the only way we can overcome ourselves is to have that very same life that was in him now living in us. So when Jesus came on the earth, he manifested that he was the original seed. And then God took that seed and put it in a press and squeezed the very life out of it. In the olive press, where the olive trees were in the garden. Spirit life was squeezed out, and then that very same life was poured back on the day of Pentecost. And that water that fell on the day of Pentecost, the Spirit falling, was to bring every other original seed to life. Now, we don't accept Jesus and then all of a sudden the seed drops down in our heart. You come into this world, you either have a seed in you or you don't. Remember the parable of the sower? One sowed good seed, the other one sowed the tares, right? So that seed is in you when you come into this world, but it must be quickened. That old nature must die out first for that new nature to be quickened that's down on the inside. He said, I know my own, and my sheep hear my voice. Another they will not follow. I won't lose a single one. So what I want you to see, as we spend a little bit of time on this on Sunday night, where people get so hung up, especially the organizations, get so hung up on the rain that's falling, instead of recognizing that there's nothing wrong with the rain. What you don't like is maybe what the seed does when the rain falls on it. But if you're a tare and the rain falls, you're going to manifest that you're a tare. If you're a wheat and the rain falls, you're going to manifest that you're wheat. Because both of them are going to produce works. Both of them are going to produce a life, right? And there's only one form of life, right? They're both drawing from the same source. When that rain falls, the wheat and the tares, they went through a drought period, as Jesus said, right? And they both cried out for rain, and the rain fell, and they both rejoiced, right? They said, praise the Lord, thank you for the rain. So the rain, this isn't complicated. I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh. The rain will fall on the just and the unjust. But he sent the rain for his seed. But his enemy planted seed in the very same field. So if they're in the very same field, they're going to benefit from the same rain. So we don't want to spend all of our time examining the rain, but we want to look at what kind of fruit is produced when the rain falls. It'll tell you what kind of a seed was that the rain fell on. So it's the water that quickens the seed to bring from it the predestinated life of the seed. It quickens even the tares with its life-giving power. Remember, Eve said, I have gotten a man from the Lord, right? There's only one form, source of life. The life that was brought forth, there's only one source of it. Sure. So nothing else can make that seed come alive but the Holy Spirit. I hope you're listening. Emotion can't quicken the seed. Not against emotion. Emotion may come with it. Maybe it doesn't. But it isn't the emotion. Well, if I could just get emotional enough and cry hard enough, that seed will come to life. No. It isn't the will of the flesh. It isn't by the will of man. Sincerity. We must be sincere, but sincerity alone will not quicken the seed. Religion certainly won't do it. We've got over 900 flavors of Christianity. Every one of them claiming that they're the right one, and yet they're producing different kinds of life. Joining a church won't do it. Nothing wrong with joining a church. We're not against any of these things, but none of those things are what will quicken that seed. And the world, we know, can't provide what the seed down on the inside is thirsting for and is calling out for. And if there's a thirst, there's something out there to satisfy that thirst. So Jesus came to pay the price for us and also to judge sin, as we looked at, and take the penalty of sin upon himself and to condemn death and destroy death through death. And him paying that price, it's tremendous. Him paying that price, it's marvelous. It's beyond words. It's needful. It's necessary. And we rejoice greatly for it. So don't take this the wrong way. But that's not all that he came to do. In other words, don't stop there. Those things were necessary for something greater that he had in mind. He also came to spread that germ seed life over the rest of the God race in order to quicken them and to bring them forth as he said that they would come forth in the beginning. So when that life overshadows you, it brings forth a birth of the spoken word once again. Listen to this. Spoken word's the original seed. He says, all of God's sons must be the same. Yes, sir. To be born of the word and spirit, it brings us back to the spoken word again, like in John chapter 3. See? To be born of the water and the Spirit, what does it do? It brings you right back again unto the place of where you should have been at the beginning. See, that's the reason of Christ's death. It brings us right back again to where? Sons of God. If Eve would have brought forth that child, she would have finally done it. Did not God tell her, multiply and replenish the earth? And of course, we know that she would have done it by believing God's word. And then God's word would have brought forth, Adam would have spoke, she would have said, amen, Adam. And it would have been on the earth as it was in heaven. So your first birth, it births you into sin. It births you into a life, but it's a life of death. But your second birth births you into eternal life filled spoken word, sons and daughters of God. You come forth. You already were, because the seed was there, so potentially, you already were a son or daughter of God, but it has to be quickened. It has to be brought forth. So what it does, what the Holy Spirit does when it comes in contact with that seed, is it births you the way that you should have been birthed in the beginning, minus this outer shell and the human spirit that we have, which is a substitute for our theophany. So this outer man is in the process of being changed. I'm being changed right before your eyes. From glory to glory to glory. Every time I'm sick and I confess his healing and my body lines up to it, I'm being changed. My body is experiencing temporary raptures every time it's healed. But it's going to go through one final quick change. Just as my soul was changed, so will my flesh be changed. You see, your soul had a life-changing experience. Your body is also going to have a life-changing experience. Your soul has been cleansed. Your soul has been made whole. Your soul, that gene that's in your soul that matches God's nature, has been quickened. The old sin nature that was in the soul is dead, and the new nature is now living in you. And it's not that new nature is not, it's a virgin. That new nature, when it came to life, how could it be guilty of things that you did in the past when it wasn't alive? When it wasn't quickened. So we're not denying that the old man did this or that or the other, but that gene that was on the inside that's quickened by the new birth, it's not guilty of it. It never did it. It's a virgin. It hasn't been with any other man. It believes God's word. The beauty of it, friends, is that you're not trying to believe God's word. If you're born again of the Spirit, you believe God's word. Why? Because you're a believer. Believers believe. Unbelievers don't believe. It always comes back to that birth. So that new nature is not guilty of the things that your old soul caused you to do. It is a seed of God. It's born again of the seed incorruptible, the word of God, as John says. It's the seed of God that is born in you, and then he comes to live in you. All that's left is a body that matches the soul that I need to come in contact with one of these days, and a uniting with my theophany instead of my human spirit. My human spirit's going to leave. My memory, intelligence, conscience, affection, reasoning. You say, oh, I don't want to lose that. I do. Those are all the channels that I'm tempted through. Yeah, I'd be glad to get beef. I'd be glad to instead have one sense, and that sense is faith. That sense is, I know that I know that I know. That's where you have peace like a river. That's where you can say all is well. You're not getting jerked around this way, that way, the other way. Hallelujah. So I'm waiting for that body. So listen to this, friends. When I go into that new body, would it be safe for me to say that body that I'm going to... Paul said we have earthly bodies, terrestrial bodies. We have celestial bodies, right? Would it be a safe thing for me to say that that body that I'm going to unite with has never smoked? Yes or no? Is there any doubt? No, it's never smoked. You know, every time you go to the doctor, they want to... Well, when are they going to quit asking? You've asked a million times, and I'm not going to tell you whether I got a gun in my closet or not. And no, I'm not depressed. Hallelujah. Well, you're delusional. Well, leave me alone. I feel better this way. Right? That body has never committed sin. That body has never went to an all-you-can-eat restaurant and stayed there for 3 years. That body has never smoked. That body has never drank. That body has never been sick. That body has never been polluted. Well, we can see that. We say, oh, I can say amen to that. Well, what about the soul? If you can see that with the body, what about the soul that's born from above? It's never lied. It's never cheated. It's never deceived. It's never doubted. Hallelujah. It's a brand new home that I'm fixing to move into. And I'm going to be happy with it. It's not going to be a fixer-upper. Hallelujah. So a born-again Son of God is the spoken word of God made manifest. Amen. So it's not a matter of you using your own thinking or changing your mind or being convinced of something or getting some kind of a new religion. It's about God's thinking now becoming your thinking. As you're uniting with him, his thoughts become your thoughts. His ways become your ways. Hallelujah. Listen to this. He says, all right. We notice then, see, the spoken word, that's how God wants his church, is to manifest himself. Well, how can he manifest himself unless his own seed is in that person? How can you use your own thoughts and God manifest himself through you? How can you take your own belief and say this and say the days of miracles is, you know, days of miracles are past or whatever. How are you going to do that and then be a manifested Son of God? How are you going to do it? The death of Jesus was nothing to you. Oh, I accept him as my Savior. You don't. You say you do, but you don't. Your works prove what you are. So in other words, if I say I'm saved, I'm a Christian, Jesus Christ is my Lord, and yet I deny his word, I'm lying. Jesus said the same thing. If you think I'm illegitimately born, they said, well, we're Abraham's son, and we need nobody to teach us. You know, people say the same thing today. They say, well, John said, you have the Holy Spirit, and so you don't have a need for any man to teach you. That's a perversion of what John was saying. Right. The Holy Spirit is going to teach you, and God's instrument is man, but it won't be the thoughts of man that are teaching you. We're Abraham's son and need nobody to teach us. Said, well, if you were Abraham's children, well, you'd know me. See, which one of you condemns me of sin or unbelief, he says. Show me one thing that God promised of me that isn't fulfilled. Show me one thing that God promised that I haven't fulfilled. Sin is unbelief. Let's see you produce it then. That dehorned them, see? See, certainly said, well, who's accusing me? Who can condemn me with sin or unbelief? See, if I don't believe, then why is the Father doing through me like he's doing every word that he promised? Now, let me see where you got it in yours, he says. So, who is illegitimate born then, he says. They were illegitimate children professing to be God's children. Jesus said, you are of your father, the devil. You know, in our immaturity, in our youth, our lack of knowledge, understanding, it sounds like Jesus is being pretty rough on some people, right? That's not nice. It's not nice for him to say your daddy's the devil. What's not... It isn't nice or mean. It's like me saying, this is a piano. Yeah. Right? If you don't like that, that's your problem. Right. It is a piano. Yeah. I'm not saying, I'm just telling you what it is. He said, your father is the devil. Right. Guess what? Their father was the devil. Right. It wasn't na-na-na-na-na-na. You know, I'm the rubber, you're the glue. Whatever you say bounces off me, it sticks to you. Right? Oh, that was, what a burn, what a cut. Oh. He was just being straight. He said, I came from God. You came from Lucifer. If you came from the same dad that I came from, you wouldn't be picking on me. You'd recognize me. You say, Abraham's your father? Abraham spoke of me. Right? So if you're his children, you'll speak of me too. You'll recognize I'm what Abraham spoke of. It's nothing mean or nice. It's just it's the truth. Which of you condemns me of sin or unbelief? Show me one thing that God promised me that ain't fulfilled. Show me one thing that the Father promised that I haven't fulfilled. Sin is unbelief. Let's see you produce it then. That dehorned them. See, certainly. Who's accusing me? Who can condemn me with sin or unbelief? See, if I don't believe, then why is the Father doing through me like he's doing every word that he promised? Now let me see where you got it in yours. Who is illegitimate then? Illegitimate born then? They were. Illegitimate children professing to be God's children. Jesus said, you are of your father, the devil, and his works you do. So he's saying, look, you can tell who my father is because I'm doing the works of my father. Now, let me tell you who your father is by the works that you're doing. What kind of works did the devil do? Try to hybrid the word of God through Eve? Well, I know it says that, but in a way. Or those things don't happen anymore. Or that was just for the first church. Lucifer, that's you quoting. That's exactly the same thing that these big denominations do today. The works of the devil. Their father, they do. Now, that sounds pretty flat, but just look at the works. There's a lot of, we're not talking about individuals. There's a lot of sincere people out there. But the system itself,
right.
It's they put him outside of his own church. They're trying to take a creed and breed it with the Word of God. That's what Satan done in the beginning. The father, the devil. God bless you, brethren. Come on out of it. Jesus said so. You got one little scratch of God in you. You ought to look and see that. Hybrid. Oh, my. The works that Jesus did, if a man has the seed of God in him, with the Spirit of God watering that seed, the same works that Jesus was manifested in Jesus, him being the original seed of God, his death brings you back to the original seed of God. And if that same Spirit that was within him is in you, then the same works will be manifested. You don't believe that? All right, let's turn over to St. John 14:12. You say, I'm a believer, Brother Branham. I sure am a believer. All right, I'm going to see if Jesus would call you one. See, if the Word of God calls you one, verily, verily, absolutely, absolutely, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go to the Father. Is that the Word of God? You know, so many people will sing the song, just as I am, without one plea. And that's good. But then he saves them, and then they continue to sing, just as I am. Wrong answer. If he saved you, he's not going to leave you just as you are. A real true seed of God is crying out to be restored. I don't want to be just as I am. I was just as I am, and I came to you just as I am. Change my heart, oh God. Make it ever pure. Change my heart. May I be like you. Make it ever true. You didn't want to stay the same way that you are. That's why you weren't looking for religion. You weren't looking for something to just soothe your conscience and then continue to live the same way that you lived. This isn't Alcoholics Anonymous, right? Let's modern day religion is Sinners Anonymous, right? We come together. My name's Doug Baker, and I'm a sinner, right? And you're called a heretic if you won't admit that, right? Oh, we'll give you scripture for it. He that says he doesn't have sin, he's a liar, right? Well, continue reading on down. After you're born again, those that are born again of the Word of God commit no sin. Oh, let's just get together. This is Sinners Anonymous. Let's just get together. There ain't nothing anonymous about it. You're finding out who you are. The anonymity is being taken away. It was anonymous. You had no idea who you were when you were a sinner. Right? But then you get born again of the, you die out to yourself, get born again of the seed of God, and he shows you your name. He shows you there's no anonymity to it anymore. Right? So I'm not coming here this evening claiming that I'm a sinner. I'm not claiming that. Right? I'm not saying that my flesh is good. Jesus said, no flesh will glory in his presence. Call no man good. Right? Came from the dust, it'll go back to the dust. But what's down on the inside of me that's been quickened by his Spirit is not a sinner.
Amen.
Sin is unbelief. In my soul, I believe.
Amen.
Now, I make mistakes in my flesh, and I'll pay for it, and I have to repent, and it'll kill me. I will repent of it. Because I can't just let it go. Right? Because of who I am. But in the soul, it's not because I doubted in the soul. In the soul, it is well. So a real, true seed of God is crying out to be restored. Crying out to be brought into the condition that you were created to be in. You didn't want to just stay the way that you once were. People say, oh, where's your love for the gays? And where's your love for the prostitutes and for the Democrats and the Republicans and the drug addicts and the and so on and so forth? We say, come. All who are thirsty, come. Right? Now that you've come, let that life-changing power transform you. Friends, this gospel has life-giving power. This gospel changes you from what you were to something that the world knows nothing about. It makes you a new creature in Christ Jesus. It makes you a part of the new creation of God. And there's a power to live a life that's above reproach, that you couldn't have lived otherwise. Friends, I'm so glad this evening for a living God. And I'm so glad that this living God saved me from my sin. Because I couldn't do it. Praise the Lord. I hope I convince you one of these days. You know, you can sit on a pew for decades. And then one day it hits you. When you quit struggling with it. As long as you keep listening to that little voice, oh, that's, nobody can say that. Nobody could live this. Nobody. I am. Oh, that's what I hate is when you say, you speak about yourself. Okay, well, let's talk about you then. I'm not going to call him a liar. Either his word said that this is the kind of a Christian that his word produces. Right? So if his word says that, I'm not going to argue with him. It's either the truth or it isn't. I've seen it on display, and I hungered and thirsted for it when I saw it. Now I have it. And I trust that you do too. If you don't, you can have it. When you quit fighting it. So the religious leaders of Jesus' day, they called him a sinner. And they said, you're not of that original seed. That's basically what they're saying. They claimed that they were the original. Our fathers ate manna in the wilderness. Right. He looked at them and said, yeah, they're everyone dead, aren't they? But they were the ones that rejected the very same seed that Abraham received and that Abraham spoke of. But Jesus said, if you are of the same seed as Abraham, you'll have the same faith of Abraham, and you'll recognize that I'm the one that Abraham spoke of. You'll believe me. You won't try and kill me. Your very works declare who you are. When you try to assassinate the word, you're showing who you are. Every seed after its own kind. Now, friends, if we can embrace his word, we'll meet him in the air. Hallelujah. Listen to this. I'm a Branham because I was born of Charlie and Ella Branham. That makes me a Branham because I'm their seed. Now, did he ask to be a child of Ella and Charlie Branham? Did he ask? Did he have any say-so in the matter? Did he have any part? Was it his fault that those were his parents? Could he take credit for the fact that those were his parents? Those were his parents. Now, if your daddy's God, can you take that next leap? That makes me a Branham because I'm their seed. There are two agreements with the sperm together. The sperm and the egg coming together made a seed, and that made me in the natural. When God and his word becomes one, hallelujah, that's when God's Spirit waters the seed of God, the Word of God, and it produces God. It's not the individual, it's God. For what? You are dead. You're not yourself no more. You reckon yourself dead, hollowed out, waiting for the seed germ. And then what is it? It isn't you no more. It isn't the man. It's God in the man. It's a seed germ like the beginning, spoken word, God's word made manifest in the man. Then it isn't the man. It's the man that's died. He can't be a hybrid and a son at the same time. He's either a son of death or a son of life. So if he's a son of death, give it over to the devil and let him kill it. Give over to God a minute and let him kill the devil that's in you. Run him out. Hollows you out. There's no good flesh. We all needed to be saved. We all needed to be delivered. Somebody posted something here the other day. Since I'm a Christian, I only now eat pizza that's been delivered. So if he's a son of death, give him over, give it over to the devil and let him kill it. Give it over to God a minute. Let him kill the devil that's in you. Run him out. Hollows you out. Then let God plant his own life in you. Then it's not you no more. It's God's life. Because it's God's word watered by the Holy Spirit, and it'll produce the same thing. You see it, he says. Hallelujah. So there will be works of a seed word son lived out in a quickened seed word son. In other words, I'm not trying to make this complicated. If there's a seed of God that's in you and it's been quickened, it'll produce works that seed produces. A son of God. John 10:24. Keep it just a few more minutes. Then came the Jews round about him and said unto him, how long do you make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. This is the reasoning part again, right? We don't know if you're the Son of God or not. How long are you going to just come on? Well, just look at him. What does the word say? What is it producing? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. Now, would they have believed it? No, because they didn't believe it as it was. Jesus answered them and said, I told you, and you believed not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. John 14:12. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Now, of course, we know that word greater in the King James Version. It doesn't mean that choice of that particular word. It doesn't mean, I mean, what could be greater than what he did? It just means more. It's multiplied. It was one seed. Now it's a many-membered body. So it's multiplied. It's the same works done multiplied times over. So Jesus had been fulfilling. I want to close with this thought here tonight. Jesus had been fulfilling one man's scriptures. Ones that could only be fulfilled in him and by him. Right? If you're still with me, say amen.
Amen.
In other words, a group of people could not fulfill. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. Right? A group can't fulfill that. Right? But now, this very same Jesus is going to be planted in order to bring an increase. You still with me? So we saw what was manifested in that one seed. Now take that one seed, put it in the ground, let it come up again. What do you expect it to produce? It was planted in order to bring an increase. The purpose of planting is to bring forth more. You had this, but this isn't all of it. In this is more. If you take that seed and put it in the ground and it comes up and it produces many more seeds, where did those seeds come from? That original seed. It's just more. It's God's way of multiplication. So Jesus said, The world won't see me anymore because I'm going away, but you shall see me because I'm going to be in you. And me being in you means I'm going to do more works in a many-membered body. I'm going to do those very same works, but I'm going to do more of them. So it'll be a ministry fulfilled through many. But it started out with one man scriptures. This is very important. So please, I promise you I'm pulling over. But this is very important because if you miss this, you'll miss where we're going later on. When we come back to this. We've come to an important junction in our last day, just like it was in the last day for the Jews, when the Jews turned against Jesus and crucified him. It was important that the Messiah be manifested again in their last day, just as it's important for the Messiah to be manifested again in our last day. See, the pattern's already there. In order to reject the Word had to become flesh. And the Word had to do just what the Word said it would do. And then it was up to them what they did with it. So in order for the gospel to go from the Gentile to the Jew, it has to be manifested to the Gentile. And the Gentile has to say, I don't want it. Has to crucify it. You can't crucify something that isn't here. So that means that there by definition, there must be one man scriptures that have to be fulfilled in our day, just as in their last day. And we know that Elijah the prophet was one man. We know that the seventh angel, the seventh church age messenger, was one man, not a group. And there are prophecies concerning that one man that were fulfilled in that one man. And we would see in that one man ministry, the very ministry of Jesus Christ himself repeated. And yet that man was there too. The very same ministry repeated in our day in every way. Calling out names, healing the sick, raising the dead, foretelling, prophesying, discerning, visions, the Word. It's the Word coming again, but not in the meeting in the air just yet. One man's scriptures had to be fulfilled first. And now we've come, Brother Juan, to the point in time where I believe I can say boldly, there are no other one-man scriptures to be fulfilled. I don't need somebody to come back to fulfill one-man scriptures. They've been fulfilled. So what's next? Well, there's plenty of body ministry scriptures that must be fulfilled. That are being fulfilled. So just think of the things that you've seen take place just among us. And then multiply that many times over. Because we're just a portion of that body. And yet, has he been good to you?
Yes.
Has he been true to his word?
Yes.
Is he your everything?
Yes.
Has he kept you?
Yes.
Is he keeping you?
Yes.
Has he set you free?
Yes.
Has he given you peace?
Amen.
Has he given you joy? Has he given you a purpose?
Amen.
Has he united with you?
Amen.
And we're just a part of a many-membered body. So the word has come in this last day for a last day harvest, as promised. But the harvest is more than one grain.
Yes.
Amen.
God's not coming to harvest a prophet.
Right.
But then once it's revealed to you and I, what first had to be revealed to a prophet, well, then the identified word continues to manifest in a many-membered body ministry to bring forth the rest of the crop.
Amen.
That has to lay in the evening sun so it can come to maturity. The original seed, the original gospel that Paul preached has returned. And it's returned back in our day, and it has identified itself among us. That's why I had to start out in one. Because we had to be convinced before we could be concerned. We had to be convinced this is the Jesus of the Bible. This isn't some other religion. This isn't some other flavor. This isn't a eighth-day Adventist or a ninth-day Adventist or, you know, some other Mormon or whatever. Some other flavor, Presbyterian, cosmopolitan, whatever. It isn't some new flavor. It's the very same one coming back, doing again in our day what he did at the beginning. And we see that, we say, yes, that's what we want. That's what the word declares. I agree. I have no problem. I agree. That is you. It's Christ the Word. It's the Son of Man coming down and being made flesh once again. So it had to be identified in one first. But now it goes forth from that one into a many-membered body, just as it was when the corn of wheat was with us here in the beginning. The same works being manifested in a many-membered body. Now, we recognize Jesus had the Spirit without measure. We have it in measure. But it's just like if I were to go out to the ocean and get a pail and dip it into the ocean, whatever's in that water, in that pail, is what's in the ocean. If there's healing in the ocean, there's healing in the bucket. If there's salt in the ocean, there's salt in the bucket. Right? I don't have the quantity, but I have the same quality. We aren't all going to do the very same works. But the same works will be done in the whole body. Maybe you're a prayer warrior. Maybe God uses you for that purpose and you can't help it. You just get in that mode and it just weighs down on you and you just can't help but get somewhere and pray for somebody. Or maybe you have a gift of healing, or maybe you have a teaching ability or a gift. All the things that Jesus did, but none of us are going to have all of it. Just as my body, my hand can't do what my brain does. My hand can't do what my heart does. It does what my hand does. But put my whole body together and you got a ministry. Hallelujah. So the only way to bring forth a crop of the word is for the word to be planted. Listen to this again. He says, what is it? The same seed. How can you plant wheat here and wheat here and then say, I'm going to get cucumbers here and wheat here? Well, you can't do it. The only way you're going to get cucumbers is to plant cucumbers. If you hybrid it, well, or mix it with something, right? Then it won't be a cucumber. It'll be a hypocrite. Is that right? It'll be a hypocrite, friends. You've got to say it. It isn't neither one. It isn't cucumber or what you bred it with. It's a crossbreed. And it's a bad product. And it's dead in itself. And it can't breed itself back no more. It's dead right there, back. It won't go no further. That finishes it. That's all. But if you want a cucumber, start with a cucumber. If you want a church, start with the Word of God. If you want the life of God, start with the Word of God. Accept the Word of God in its fullness, every measure of it. And if that is the fullness of God in you, well, then the rain that's falling will produce exactly what's in your garden. Yeah. Hallelujah. See now where your latter rain's coming up at? You see where that's going after a while, don't you? So, friends, we are seeing a harvest of every seed type caused by a latter rain. Christ planted seed, the devil planted seed also. We read that parable from Matthew 13, wheat and the tares. What will be reaped is what was sown. We once manifested a life of sin, but then we repented and we turned from it
And we cried out for God to water that seed that was down on the inside of us. And as a result of that, friends, we are now bringing forth works that match the seed that was quickened in us. So if we want the right kind of a crop, we need to preach the original word. I believe that won't produce the right kind of a crop. We need to preach the original word that hasn't been hybridized. It has to be the pure word of God. If we want to reap the word, we must plant the word. And the word that is planted is what will be reaped. Again, last one. Brother Branham says, then the works will be manifested in him are the same. For it's the same seed, word of God. God's son was his example seed. And what his life was when the Spirit poured upon him after his baptism and the Holy Ghost came upon him, the very life that he produced, will that same watering Spirit of the Holy Ghost will produce, will bring forth the same kind of life, doing the same thing that he did, if it's the same seed. Yes. A son of God's seed will bring forth a son of God's seed. See how simple it is? He says, now shame on you women with bobbed hair. Shame on you preachers denying that truth. Say that it's all right. Hair has nothing to do with it. But God said that it did. It's the word test. Well, that's just a little thing. Well, if you aren't going to obey God in a little thing, why would you obey him in a big thing? There's a very simple test, friends. People say, well, I don't think it's a big deal to do this or that. Okay. Then if it isn't a big deal to do it, it shouldn't be a big deal not to do it. Right? And if you find that it's a big deal not to do it, something's got a hold of you. We should be able to get to where we're neutral. We should be able to get to the point, God, I don't have an opinion. I don't have a dog in the fight. I just want to be right. I just want to be correct. If your word says this, that's what I want to do. If your word says that, that's what I want to do. I don't care what I got to do. I just want to make sure it's your word. I don't want to be fighting it. I don't want to come with my own ideas. I don't want to come with the church's ideas. I don't want to come with the church age ideas. I'm repenting of all of that unbelief, because your word has come and you've confirmed your word and you've proven that it's your word. You've identified yourself with it. You've vindicated it more than in any other age you've vindicated your word. I'd have to just want to disbelieve with all that I've seen at this point. Amen? God, I just want your will to be done. On earth as it is in heaven. Not my will, not the church's will, not somebody else. I want your will, which is your word. So I only want your word. And the church says, amen. Let's stand. The seed at the harvest time. Musicians, if you'd make your way up. Thank you for your patience tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You might be tired tonight, but that little seed down on the inside is quivering, saying, hallelujah, I got mine today. I got the feast that I was promised. Amen. Blessed be his wonderful name. Let's bow our heads. Father, as we bow our heads to the dust of the earth that we came from, Lord, we know that thou art worthy. We know that there's none. There was a search that was done. And it was a search done throughout all history. No man was found that was worthy. But then the Lamb stood forth. And the angels proclaimed, behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. This one's worthy. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah. And then a bloody lamb steps out. Father, we believe that tonight. We accept that. We receive it. We surrender to the price that you paid. We surrender to the work that you're doing. We surrender to your great plan that you've thought to include us in, chosen in you before the foundation of the world to be partakers of this, to be a partaker of the divine nature, to come forth, to manifest your image on the earth once again. What a privilege, what an honor. The great creator, the great I am, the creator of the universe, of the heavens and the earth. You chose us to manifest your nature. Lord, it is our desire, more than anything, to just get ourselves out of the way, to, Lord, to even after we've died out to that old nature and we've been quickened, there's still a daily dying out that takes place as we make the choice every day to say, I'll admit I have a will as a human being, but nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. We know that it's a harder choice. We know that there's suffering that comes. We know that there's pain, there's sorrow. These things are promised. We're not sugarcoating this a bit. These things are promised, but they're not to be compared to the glory that will be revealed in us. They're also not to be compared to the peace and the joy and the love and the friendship and the forgiveness and the supernatural, all the things that we're partaking of in this life. So, Lord, we're not waiting. This isn't some kind of what they call blind faith. Faith has eyes. You've revealed it to us. We see it. We believe it. We believe that you're the same tonight as you were 2,000 years ago, and that you're doing tonight the very same things that you did 2,000 years ago, but you're doing it in a many-member body. We know that, Lord, if you could turn to a woman that they caught her in the act. It wasn't a matter of whether she did or didn't. They caught her in the act, and you looked at her, and you said, "Woman, I forgive you. Go and sin no more." You said, "I'm not going to throw a stone at her." Which of you wants to throw a stone? That same one's here tonight. That same one is here to forgive, to deliver, to save, to encourage. Ultimately, to change our bodies, to overcome, to comfort, to give joy, peace, vision, to show us who we are in your word, to reveal to us your hidden plan that's been hidden since before the foundation of the world, but has been being revealed in our day. Father, I'm overwhelmed. Lord, we are blessed and highly favored. And that's not something that makes us stick our chests out. It's not something that makes us hold our heads high and go around thinking that we're something. It's humbling. We realize that it's not anything that we've done. We realize it's your mercy, it's your grace, it's your great love. And there's something down on the inside of us that wants to worship you. And Lord, the worship that we worship, it isn't just words, and it isn't flattery, and it isn't just us saying something because we want something in return, but we're saying it by revelation. When we say, "Thou art worthy," we say that because we recognize how unworthy we are and how no man was found that was worthy. When we say, "You're mighty to deliver," we say that with revelation because we've experienced deliverance. When we say you're mighty to save, we say that because you've saved our souls. When we say that you're a life changer, we say that because you changed our lives. That you quickened us. You took us from the depths of sin. Washed us in your own blood, divorced us from our sin, quickened us by your Spirit, and made us tabernacles of the Most High. Only you could do that, Lord. We just simply believe tonight. We simply surrender. And Lord, our desire is to see your spirit manifested, your word manifested in our lives as you've declared that it would be in these last days. We want our lives to match the scripture that speaks of us in this hour, speaks of your seed down on the inside, sons and daughters of God. We want to be the fulfillment in every way of what your word has declared. Help us, oh God, as we search the scriptures, as we find ourselves, as you lead us, as your message shows us where we are in your word. Help us, Lord, to believe. Help our unbelief. Help us, Lord, to keep our focus. And help us, Lord, to die out every day so that others can see and we can declare, they are they that testify of me, just as you did. We can say, Satan, you have no part in me, and I have no part in you. We can say, I found myself in the volume of the book. We can say, I found my name in the Lamb's book of life, written before the foundation of the world. Won't you grant it tonight, Lord? Every head bowed, every eye closed. Wonder if there's someone here this evening that say, I want to believe that more. I've been listening to doubts, and I've been looking at circumstances instead of just looking at the word. And I get discouraged when I see the circumstances. I get discouraged when I see certain things. But I want to take my eyes off of the flesh. I want to take my eyes off of the old man. I want to take my eyes off of circumstances, and I want to just look upon the word. And I want to speak those things that aren't as though they are, and walk in it, recognizing that word is a vision that spoke of me, and I'm going to walk in it, not by might, not by power, but by the Spirit of God, saith the Lord. I'm going to confess what he said about me in spite of what I might think about myself or see or what others might say or what the devil might be whispering in my ear. I'm going to say what the word says about me, and I'm going to see that word lived out and manifested in my life. So help me, God. If that's you, you want to just lift your hand, whether in the building or listening in tonight or will be listening in. God sees your hands. God sees your heart. God knows. Father, this is all you from the beginning to the end. It's your work. It's your story. It's your drama. It's your work of redemption. It's your great plan. And it's you manifesting yourself to us and through us. And Lord, we surrender tonight. We just want to tell you how much we love you, how much we thank you, how much we praise you, honor you, glorify you. Help us, oh God. May these things become more and more real to us as we're in the very twilight hours of the Gentile dispensation. We're in the time when there has to be a total rejection of the word once again. But in order for there to be a rejection, there has to be the fullness of the word to reject. We can't reject something that hasn't been presented to us. So Lord, we know that because the rejection is taking place, it doesn't mean the word isn't here. In fact, it means just the opposite. It means the word is here, and the word is being made manifest, and the word is declaring and living out, and it is performing and manifesting exactly what you said that it would do in a many-member body. We believe tonight, Lord. Help our unbelief. We hold to your unfailing words of promise. Lord, we choose to look at the light. We choose to look at the truth. We choose to live on the hallelujah side, to look on the positive side. We fully expect our enemy to be doing everything he can to try to discourage and to bring doubt. But Lord, we're not looking at the dark side. We're looking at the hallelujah side. And it's never been so bright. Bless each and every one, Lord. Father, just stir up that thirst and hunger in each and every heart, Lord, as we approach the end of the year. And Lord, as we approach the meetings here at the end of the year, we just pray, Lord, that each and every one of us would be hungering and thirsting for something in particular. Because your word has promised us things. And if your word has promised us, it'll produce a hunger and a thirst. May we call out for those things, and may we be in expectation for you to meet those needs in this body this weekend. And may you be glorified. Lord, if there be some that are lost, Lord, may they come to salvation. If there be some that need deliverance, may they find that. If there be some that need the Holy Ghost, may they be filled with your Spirit. Father, if those that need encouragement, may they be encouraged. Healed, may they be healed. Whatever it might be, Lord, we're in great expectation, and we need to be in great expectation. Because you exceed our expectations. So, Lord, I want to expect great things. Because if you're going to exceed that, you're going to exceed great things. You've given us exceeding great and precious promises. And I want to be a partaker of it. Partaker of that divine nature. Bless each and every one now, Lord, as we commit each one in your hands now. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. I've been I found joy, I found peace, I found grace, I found favor, and right now is the moment, today is the day, I've been changed. I have waited for this moment to come, and I won't let it pass me by. No, I won't go back. I can't go back to the way it used to be before your presence came and it changed me. No, I won't go back. I can't go back to the way it used to be before your presence came and it changed me. All my shame, all my guilt, and all my sins, they've been forgiven. No more chains, no more fear. My past, it's over. And right now is a moment. Today is a day. I've been changed. I've been changed. I have waited for this moment.